Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Book of Jude. The Book of Jude. We're continuing with the Book of Jude, the Sunday school series that we're on. Remember, the Book of Jude is the book right before the Book of Revelation. So Revelation and then Jude. Jude is only one chapter, but it is the gateway of leading from the epistles to the Book of Revelation. It is the walkthrough. Remember, the church epistles speak about how to behave ourselves as a Christian, how to operate as a church. The Book of Jude transitions from that, leading to the Book of Revelation and the things that are to happen to prepare. What are we supposed to do in our part to help prepare for the things yet to come? So look with me, if you don't mind, in the Book of Jude. So the Book of Revelation, turn the other direction, the Book of Jude. The Book of Jude, if it helps, Jude is right after the Book of 3 John. So if you find the Book of 3 John, you're really close. All right, the Book of Jude. The Book of Jude, and notice with me, let's go ahead and we'll hit the first two verses which we hit before and get a running start. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there were certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the Book of Jude in verse number 3? The Book of Jude, verse 3, notice the phrase, earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. Of course, this is the name of the whole series, to earnestly contend for the faith. But the verse 1 and verse 2 were introduction. Now verse 3 comes into the meat, comes to the thesis, comes to the idea of what this whole book is about. Notice, if you don't mind, as we see here in verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful. It was needful. Notice this. It says, it was needful. When you see that phrase, we understand that it is mandatory, not an elective. What is an elective? Let's say that you're going through classes and there is an elective. What is that elective? It is something you could choose to take. You don't have to take. You elect to take it. Here we see it was needful. This phrase says it's not an elective. It was mandatory. It was mandatory. What was mandatory? Well, he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Now, he says, I came to write of the common salvation. What is the common salvation? It is a salvation common to man. It is a salvation that Jesus died for all men, all mankind. For everyone that lived, Jesus died for them. And that it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, where you live, how you live, that everyone can accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That it is common to man. So Jude, as he's writing, he said, as I was writing of the common salvation, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write of you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. Some people have the idea that Jude was getting ready to write. He says, I wanted to write to you of the common salvation, but God changed my mind and I am now writing about this. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, because I came to write of you the common salvation, it was needful for me to also tell you to earnestly contend for the faith. To earnestly contend for the faith. He's saying that there's no message of the common salvation unless we contend for the faith. The word contend means to stand agonizingly, to stand seriously. We contend for the faith when we stand and find in for what we find in the Word of God. Every Christian should be agonizingly serious about contending for the faith. Everyone should contend for the faith. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation chapter 3 that we are to strengthen the things that remain. That's what we're supposed to do, is strengthen the things that remain, to contend for the things that are found in the faith. The word contend carries the idea to fight. We are to fight. We're supposed to fight for the Bible. May I take a pause here and say that the Word of God is under attack. The Bible is under attack. Salvation is under attack. The Lord Jesus Christ is under attack. And it's under attack all the time. And that people are trying to make it disappear. The way that we believe, people are trying to make disappear. The things about God, people are trying to make it disappear. For example, we now live in a day where people want to cross out Christ out of Christmas. They want to take Jesus all the way out of it. They want to take Jesus out of the schools, out of the courts. They want to take everything with God. Congress, some people in Congress are trying to take In God We Trust or In the Name of God out of the oaths of office. That people are trying to make things of God disappear. They want to make things go away. So because of that, we have to stand. We have to stand for the things of the Bible. We have to say, no, we're not going to allow them to take them away. Notice, if you don't mind, there are some things that we should all contend with dealing with the common salvation. Notice, if you don't mind, the first thing that we need to contend with is to contend with convictions. To contend with convictions. Jude exhorts us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What we see here is that we don't need a new delivery of the faith. We don't need a new faith. We don't need anything that needs to be added to it. We need to contend for the faith that was once delivered. The same faith that was given unto us by the saints. The same thing that we have in the Bible. We owe a great debt to those that have taken a stand for the truth that we can know it. We may get by without contending, but if we don't contend, there's going to be nothing left for the next generation. Whenever you study the idea of martyrs in the Bible, we could see that there was a great cost. This Bible is dripping in blood. People died to give us this book. You say, what kind of people? Well, let's take a man by the name of John Huss, who lived in Bohemia. John Huss was a preacher who believed like we did. But the people of that area did not like it at all, and so they put him to death. They killed him. Well, his wife, Lady Huss, was also arrested because of the preaching of the gospel. And while she was in jail, she was waiting trial or waiting for the sentence. Her husband was already killed. And the day that she her husband died, she wore all black. But finally it came down the order that she was to die too. And on that day, she wore white. People said, why would you wear white? She goes, this is the day I go be reunited with my husband and be reunited with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why would I wear anything else? This is a day of celebration. And so they began to drag her to the town square from the prison where she was at. And as she was going, she kept telling people about Jesus as they were putting her in chains, dragging her to be executed. She would be proclaiming the gospel. Jesus saves. Accept Jesus. Know him. They finally threatened her and said, if you don't stop preaching, if you don't stop telling people about the Lord, we will pull out your tongue. Well, she didn't stop. And so they stopped the procession, took almost like a pair of pliers, a tongs, and they pulled out her tongue. But that didn't stop her. still as they brought her towards the place she was going to be executed. She kept pointing up to the air and saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." They finally brought her to the stake, put her up on it, began to light it on fire, and she died that day. Why did she die? For the faith. She was contending for it and say, "This is important. This is important." As you go through the Bible and see the people that were killed because of this, you have a man by the name of Wycliffe, who was determined to give the Bible into the English language. At the time, the people did not have the Bible in the English language. In order to read the Bible, you had to know Latin. And most of the people in England did not know Latin. So they could not read the Bible for themselves. Well, he was determined to let the people know what the Bible said. So he began to translate the Bible from Latin into the English language. As he began to do that, he began to translate, began to work, but he had opposition. And so finally they said, "You know what? We're going to kill Wycliffe." And so they put him up on the stake and they took a wire and began to choke him. And as before he was executed, he says, "I pray to God that in 100 years or time, that the plowboy will know more Bible than the king, than the princes." And do you know that God answered his prayer, that someone by the name of Tyndale came afterwards? And Tyndale began to take the Bible from the Hebrew and Greek and began to translate it into the English language to give the Bible into. Well, of course, they got a hold of Tyndale and they killed him. So they killed Wycliffe. They killed Tyndale. They had Miles Coverdale, who came afterwards, who began to take the Bible, and he was more of a linguist and began to bring it to the pace and the cadence that our Bible has today. And they kept trying to kill him. He was smart enough to say, "Hey, you know what? They had a Wycliffe Bible and they killed Wycliffe. They had a Tyndale Bible and they killed Tyndale." So he called his Bible the Matthew's Bible. So that way they didn't know it was him. Because he says, there's a pattern here. Anybody who works on the Bible, they try to kill. And people begin to risk their life. Under Henry VIII, it was illegal to have a Tyndale Bible inside of the king, inside of England. If you are found with a Tyndale Bible, an English Bible, you could be killed. But those ladies, remember, they had those big poofy dresses. They would smuggle in Bibles inside of those dresses into the palace anyways. You see, people paid a price to get the Bible to us. We could go on and tell you stories of people who gave their life trying to give the Bible to the next generation, trying to give it to us. And you know what ends up happening for us? We take it for granted because we all have a Bible. Many of us have multiple Bibles and they gather dust. We don't read it. We don't study it. It's not important to us. And if it's not important to us, we're not going to contend for it. We're not going to fight for it. People gave their lives to give us this Bible. We need to have some convictions that this Bible is the Word of God, that this Bible is God's Word to us. And we have a great debt to those that have taken a stand for the truth so we can know it. We have to contend for the faith. We need to faithfully give others the faith that was given to us. It's almost like an Olympic runner. Have you seen the relay race where they pass the baton? Let's say that there's a 4-man team. And so the first guy, he's running the best he can. He runs around the course with a baton. Gets it to the second man. And how it works is at the very end, when they're passing the baton, they start running together and then they pass the baton, so they're going the same pace. The first one finally falls off the scene and the second one runs the lap. Then what happens? The second one comes and gives it to the third guy. And they're running. They're winning the race. They pass it to the third guy. The third guy takes it. The second guy passes off the scene. The third guy runs and goes around. Now they're winning the race. They're beating everyone. They're running well. And they come to the fourth guy. The fourth guy takes it and says, "Hey, this is nice." And he begins to walk around the course. Is that what they want? Maybe he says, "You know what? I'm going to take a taco break." you know what? This is a good time to go ahead and just take a bathroom break. And he doesn't run the race that the other three work so hard to run. We have the responsibility, now that the baton is passed to us, to contend for the faith, to run the race, to keep it so we could pass it on to the next person, to run the race, to win it, to keep going on. And then we have to run with our convictions, knowing that the Bible is true, to know that this is worth standing for, to say this is what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. I'm standing on God's word, standing on the promises of God, knowing what it says. To say I'm going to follow this. This is important to me. I love the Bible. I love God's word. We have to get to the place where that we come to that. We have to come to the place where we have Bible-based, Christ-honoring convictions that we stick with because of what the Bible says and willing to stand. We need to stand with convictions. We also need to stand with compassion. We need to have contend with compassion. The Bible says that we need to lift up the truth in love. The preacher needs to be unafraid to preach the truth. And that people who love God will love the preacher who preaches the truth. You know, there are sometimes as the pastor, I need to say some things that step on your toes. Any preacher that doesn't step on people's toes from time to time isn't preaching the word of God. From time to time, if the Bible's preached faithfully, everyone will be hit by a message. That's good preaching when it hits us. But at the same time, we need to have compassion. We need to love on people, care for people. That if someone is doing something that's contrary to the Bible, we still need to love on them. We must have truth and love. We don't need to seem hateful to people. Remember, we're not down on sinners, we're down on sin. We're supposed to hate the sin and love the sinners, to love people. Jesus Christ came to redeem those lost sinners. We need to have the kind of life that are devoted to Christ, given to the service of others, to let people know that we genuinely love them without compromising our convictions. We need to be able to say, I believe the Bible, but I also love you. Not, I believe the Bible, so I hate you. We love the Bible and we love sinners. We want to bring them to Christ. Which brings us to a third thing. Not only are we supposed to contend for the faith with conviction, we're supposed to contend for the faith with compassion, but we're supposed to contend for the faith continually. Continually. The Bible speaks about our duty, that we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. But then it also speaks about our danger. So the book of Jude talks about our duty. Then it talks about our danger. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 4. For there are certain men that crept in unawares. Do you know that we have to deal with creepers? You know what a creeper is. Someone that sneaks in behind and doesn't see you. And at the last, or that you don't see in the last minute, they blow up. They're creepers. They sneak right in. They try to get it when you're not looking. These are certain men that crept in unawares. Men will creep in and seek to change what others believe to be true. Notice what the book of Jude, verse 4, says about these creepers, about these people that are coming in. They crept in unawares. And the book of 1 John, chapter 2, it says, in fact, turn there. It's just a couple books back. The book of 1 John, chapter number 2. The book of 1 John, chapter number 2. First John chapter 2. We can see that these creepers were people that were numbered among the people, but were not a part of the people. Notice with me, 1 John chapter 2, notice verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist should come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not at all of us. So what we see here is these creepers that have come in. And they went in and they tried to mix around the crowd. Eventually, they shook themselves out to show that they were not part of us in the first place. They didn't believe like us. But they crept in. And that's what they try to do. As you're in there doing your work, you're trying to mine and continue on. They'll sneak up behind you at the last moment and then blow everything up that you try to do. They're trying to work. They're creeping in. And they want to destroy everything that we're trying to contend for. Destroy everything that we're working hard to build. Destroy everything that is around us. They're creeping in unawares. Notice as we go back to the book of Jude in verse number 4, we could see that they crept in unawares, but we could also see that their condemnation was foretold. Notice in verse 4, "For there are certain men that crept in unawares, who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness." Notice this, they were before of old to this condemnation, ordained to this condemnation. The Bible says that these people would exist. They come in denying the faith. They come in denying what is going on. The Bible's tried to warn us so we're not caught by surprise. There are people that are trying to creep in. There are people that are trying to change what we believe, destroy what we have. And we have to contend for the faith. Sometimes they show up in a church like this and they want to teach their own thing. They want to try to go something against the Bible and convince everyone that it's true. And the Bible's trying to warn us that it's going to happen. But then we also see their conduct should be marked. Notice again in verse 4. "For there are certain men that crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice Jude gives a vivid description of their conduct. The Bible gives us a command in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 that we're supposed to mark them and avoid them. That if someone's teaching something opposite of the Bible, we're supposed to mark them and say, listen to them, avoid them, stay away from them. Listen to us now, they're dangerous. And from time to time, people will come in and we're going to have to mark them, avoid them. Say we shouldn't listen to them when they teach something that's contrary to the Bible, that they're trying to creep in to destroy things. We have a responsibility to hand off the faith that was given to us and give it to the next generation. That's our responsibility. That's what we're supposed to do, is pass off the baton so that the next generation is believing the same thing that the generation before us was taught. We understand that Christ taught the apostles taught the first century church, the first century church taught the second century church taught the third century church, and it continues to go on. They continue to teach. So therefore, the same body of doctrine that we believe, we can trace back to Christ and his disciples, that they believe the same thing. We don't want it to stop on us. We don't want it so that way we're the last generation to believe what the Bible says. In order for that to happen, we have to contend. We have to hold forth. We have to keep it for ourselves. We have a responsibility to contend for the faith. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.